Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So with that said, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 14. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the screen here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Salvation Has Come to the Gentiles. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. As we all been studying the book of Romans and learning the life of the Apostle Paul, we all know now that he was called to the Gentiles, us, to preach the gospel. And we're going to see many reasons why he had to do this. And one of them was the heart of the Jews who were operating in unbelief. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah prophesied thousands of years prior to his showing up that day. The Bible was clear in many of the scriptures. Isaiah was one. Remember this one, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Okay, we remember that one. And then I believe in one of the minor prophets where it talked about he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And that all came to pass, didn't it? So we all know that Jesus fulfilled his coming, his first coming. But unfortunately, the Jews did not receive it that way. And so God's plan was this. He allowed them to reject him to open the door for us. How many are so blessed to know that? Amen. You know, this is why, you know, I'm not mad at the Jew. I'm thankful. When we went to Temple Beth Shalom, I wanted to hug out all of them. Thank you. Thank you. And they're still in unbelief. But thank you. Because if it wasn't for your unbelief, Paul the Apostle would have came to us. But he came to us. Amen. And we now have salvation. So let's kind of like break down verses 8 through 14 and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with us. Amen. Here we go. Verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor. Wow. Stupor. Let me just say in layman's term, they were stupid about the whole thing, all right? Eyes that they should not see and ears that they have not heard. Look at this. To this very day. To this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and bow down their back always. Wow. Look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should, what, fall? Certainly not. Another rhetorical question Paul's always asking. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. This is where I got our topic tonight. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Ooh, look at this. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Look at verse 14. And if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. And so one of the purposes of the gospel that Paul was delivering at this time was not so much for us as well, but he wanted to provoke them to jealousy. He wanted to see God move in a mighty way. And what did they see which they denied? When Jesus was on the scene, what did they see? They saw the blind to see. They saw what? The lame to speak, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. They saw the miraculous. He would raise the dead. But yet, in the hardness of their heart, they still walked in unbelief. How many is so blessed to know, because of their unbelief, we're here today praising him and giving glory and honor, hallelujah, to his holy name. Come on, give God a shout of praise for that. Come on, is he worthy? He's worthy. So let's break this down and see where we will go with these few verses of scripture tonight. And so let's go back to verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to what? This very day. Wow. So saying the Jews made unresponsive was confirmation of their inability to understand or even their insensitivity to God's word and God's call in their life. And they were called, you got to remember, to the Jew first, then to us Gentiles, right? But they rejected the call. And when God judged them, he removed their ability to see, to hear, and to even repent. Wow. He removed that ability. He said, okay, all right, I got a people that will respond to the call. And that was us Gentiles. Amen? And so thus they would experience the consequences of their rebellion. They were very rebellious. Till this day, they're still rebellious. Let me just pause and say this right now. You know, our college campuses, there's protests. They're all for the Palestinians. They're against the Jews. Around the world, there's a whole lot of anti-Semitism. Matter of fact, a whole bunch of Jews left Stockholm. It was in the news. They all left because they were severely being persecuted. Well, let me just say this. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. You know why? Because he's first going to fish for them to come back to Jerusalem. Amen. Then the ones that still will stay in New York, that will still stay in Europe, that will still, wherever they've been scattered to, now he's going to chase them back to Jerusalem. Why does he want them all there? You ever ask yourself that? Why does he want them all there, especially now? Because when he returns, he wants them all there. Hallelujah. To show them the nail-pierced hands. To show them the side that was pierced. This is why he's chasing them all back home. So we gotta take a step back and look what God is doing. He's doing this in our lifetime. He's fulfilling scripture. We're seeing something so radical right now that we've never seen this ever in the history of the world, where he's bringing them all back now to the land. Every day, there's a plane coming in, landing there, making aliyah. You know what aliyah means? Welcome home. They're all going home. Woo, thank you, God. But saints, this is not the same as rejection. Rather, it confirms their response to God. Let's look at some scriptures to confirm the rejection that they had for the Lord Jesus. Look at this. In Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, look at this. And he replied, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused. Deafen their ears and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. But they didn't want that. They didn't want that. They did the opposite, didn't they? Look what John says right here in John 12. For this reason, they were unable to believe. He's talking about the Jews. For again, Isaiah says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they cannot see him with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Wow. Who were the ones that he had the most issues with? The religious ones. They're the ones that had the authority of the Word of God, of the Torah. Those, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Okay? Now, look what Luke wrote in the book of Acts. He wrote this, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has grown callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And so we see this pattern. We see this in Scripture on how they were so rebellious. Let me just say this, because I was praying for this message, and I believe for a moment it got away from me when it deleted out of nowhere. And then I was able to retrieve everything that I had studied and I had put on Word Doc. Everything that you see on the PowerPoint, it was gone. A whole day and a half work, it was gone. And then it came back. But you know what? Because I was going to say this. This is not just for the Jews back in the day. It's for the Jews now, but it's also for the unbeliever today that has rejected Jesus. And guess what? There's even some in the church. They're there for religious reasons. They're there for the whole wrong agenda. Look what else I found in 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were closed, for to this day the same veil remains at the reading of the old covenant. It has not been lifted, because only in Christ can it be removed. Did you catch that? Only in Christ. Only God can peel away the scales from the eyes to see Him. Ask yourself this, before you came into the saving knowledge of the Lord, we had scale on our eyes. We didn't see Christ. Yeah, you know, we grew up religious, you know, doing this. Driving by a church and doing this. But we didn't know Him, did we? No. Until He dealt with our ears and our eyes and our hearts. Look at this. Verse 15. And even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Wow. I used to always have these conversations with Rabbi. I go, Rabbi, can't you see Jesus in the Old Testament?
I don't see what you see, Reverend Fee.
I said, okay, Rabbi. One day you will see it. One day you will. I never got angry. We never had a sword fight. I was just trying to expound to him. Can't you see what I see? And we just read, until God removes their scales, they're not going to see. Wow. So let's go to verse 9 of chapter 11 of Romans. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. And so there's so many Old Testament scriptures to identify what Paul, the apostle, just wrote here, what we just read of him. Let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block. Look what Deuteronomy 29:4. Moses even wrote this. Look at this. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, to this very day. Wow. Look what Isaiah 29:10 says. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. And has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. You know what a seer was? A seer is someone that had a prophetic voice that can see. And some of them were real deals, I mean, truly seers, prophets. And then some of them were false prophets. But they couldn't even see whether it was false or truth. They just couldn't see. So Israel's present misinterpretation of their scripture and refusal to accept Christ as their Messiah, saints of God, is a continuation of their tendency to misunderstand God's plans and the purpose for them. And they're still challenged in it. And yet they don't even know why God is chasing them back to Israel. They just get off the plane. I'm here. They don't even know why. It's hilarious because we saw it with our own eyes, huh, honey? We saw it. We saw the planes coming in, and they're all coming out taking a photo op. And they had like bewildered faces, though, like, okay, we're landed. Where do we go from here? See, Paul saw this happening to the Jewish congregations he visited throughout his missionary journey. Aren't you so blessed that he took the gospel around the region and it spread like wildfire? Just imagine when you share Christ with someone who receives it, how many people's lives that person will touch now? And it'll be a chain reaction. Tag you're it. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 11. Here we go. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. Wow. Paul quoted from many Old Testament, but look at what Psalm 69, even King David wrote this. Look at this. Psalm 69:22. Let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened. So Paul was quoting what? Scripture. So that they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. You ever seen someone weak in the knees, and they were just shaking and with nerves and scared? That's what they were doing. My goodness. These words of David's were originally a curse directed at Israel's enemies at first. Paul turns the curse around and he points it at the Jews for their hardened hearts. These blessings should have been drawn, they should have drawn Israel to God and thus led them to Christ. But instead, they became a snare and a trap. So Christ was a snare and a trap to them. Because they didn't believe that was the Messiah right in front of them. Just imagine if you were born in that day and time. We would have the opportunity to lay hands on Christ and to hold him. And behold the glory of God. Just imagine getting an embrace from him. Huh? The King of Glory. Who spoke the entire universe into existence. And he's here now to be with us. And they didn't get it. They didn't have a clue. It was a snare and a trap. Even Matthew wrote this down through the words of Christ. Look at this. In Matthew 13. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. You see, the gospel was a continual reminder. The Old Testament scriptures were a continual reminder of the prophecy to be fulfilled. And when it finally came, they rejected him. Wow. Just imagine, I'm just going to say this. Just imagine if we would have went through our whole life rejecting him. Where would we be? I wouldn't be behind this pulpit today. Can I get an amen? Amen. I thank God that he came to rescue me at the age of 30. Yes. And didn't allow me to go any further than that. Mm-hmm. With a downtrodden, with a life that brought shame to him. And he interrupted your lives. Right. To bring glory to him. And now he's using you in mighty ways. How many can honestly say you're being used by him? Oh, yes. Come on. Every one of us in here, right? Yes. And even John, the revelator, John, that was close to Jesus. Look what he wrote down in John 12:40. Look at this. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Didn't we just read that with Matthew? Didn't we just read that with the Old Testament saints, with the prophets? They reiterated that. They were trying to get their attention, but yet they denied God. You see, my friends, Israel's blessings had led to pride that led them that it just totally led them away from God. And this is why pride is an abomination to God. Do you know that? Pride. We should never walk around proud. We should walk around humble. He says, come to the throne room of grace, humbly yet boldly. In other words, we're bold knowing who he is. That we should never, never lose thought of who he is and what he's done in our life. But yet, knowing that, we still come humbly before him and say, thank you, God, for saving a wretch like me. Oh, God, will you hear my cry? Tonight in prayer, that's what we did. We cried out to God. We cried for our nation. We cried for our friends. We cried for our family. We cried for our needs. We cried that God watch over us because war's about ready to bust loose. Help us, God. Help us in our time of need. Yes. Yes. And so when the Messiah, when he came, they still persecuted and killed him. Wow. Wow. Well, it was God's plan, huh? Because aren't you so blessed that Jesus laid down his life voluntarily? He laid down his life for you and for me. So let's move on now to Romans 11. With verse 11, look at this. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. Here's that rhetorical question. Paul's always asking a question, and then he answers it right away. And he says, certainly not. But through their fall, it was to provoke them to jealousy, because salvation has come to us. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For saving a wretch like me. Oh, that's right. He came to save us, huh? Come on. And he's provoking them right now to jealousy. But you know what? There's a lot of Jews getting saved. I hope you know that. And when they get saved, and if they know the Torah, it makes them, woo, it makes them a huge enemy to Satan. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because their knowledge of the Old Testament of God, and then when they get saved, God illuminates their mind and gives them understanding and wisdom of the word, and now they can use it for the offense. They use it to come after Satan's kingdom.
My, my, my.
So this is the 10th time in this letter that Paul has asked a question only to respond in a strong negative. And he wrote, no, Israel's stumbling did not cause them to fall, so that God has declared the nation beyond recovery. Did you know that God has a plan for them? How many believe that he still has a plan for them? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we're seeing it develop right now, as I shared earlier. Israel's rejection of Christ was a part of God's plan all along. As essential as God's sovereign choice of Jacob over Esau and his hardening of Pharaoh. Did you know that God is the one that hardens the hearts of men? Huh? Did you know that people that fall into really debased kind of sins, where they become retrobates. You know what a retrobate is, right? Someone that's been turned over. God turns them over to their lust. And there's now no return for them. He'll allow them to die in their sin. And they can't come back to him. Because he's given them a retrobate mind, a debased mind. And so, you never want to see anyone come to that place in their life where they have rejected God and they want nothing to do with God. Always pray and say, oh God, give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent, God. In our chapters prior to chapter 11, we see this, how God will harden a heart. But let's look at this. Let's go back and read this scriptures again that was in two chapters ago in Romans 9:10. Look at this. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I what? Hated. See, God is sovereign in what he does. When God makes a choice, it will be so. When he hardens a heart, he's doing it because there's purpose behind it. But those who totally reject him, as I earlier said, there's no longer hope for them because they have turned over to their lust and they don't want no part of Jesus. Wow, there's people like that. It's found earlier in the book of Romans, chapter 1. But look at this. In Romans 9:17, for this scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be what? Declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. See, if you know your scriptures, you'll understand why God allows certain things happen in people's lives. Without knowing the scripture, we're going to get emotional about it. We're going to have a humanistic point of view. This is where our feelings will have the best of us. Oh, that's okay. God still loves you. And God loves his creation. But when he's turned someone over, we cannot undo that. We have to pray when we see someone really, really in that debased kind of lifestyle. Our prayer should be, God, have mercy. Have mercy, God. Have mercy. Because God is merciful, isn't he? And the salvation of the Gentiles is not the end of the story. It too has a purpose to make the Jews jealous. Praise God. Did you know that Rabbi, when he would see us, he used to always like, I remember, Reverend Free.
You guys had a good day today?
I go, yeah, Rabbi. You know, I always had a smile, and I always, you know, looked at him with joy. I love that guy, but man, it looked like he had some prune juice. I saw no joy in him. I said, okay. Because if you don't have Jesus, there is no joy. You become a religious person. And you're doing it out of a religious connotation. You see, the blessings offered to the Gentiles would spur Israel to end their hostility toward the gospel and ultimately bring them to faith. Praise God. God declares to restore Israel to himself, and he's doing it right before our eyes. It hasn't yet been revealed to them, but he's bringing them for purpose. So when Jesus comes, whoo, when he touches his feet on the Mount of Olives, man, look out. Many of them will turn to him and say, you are the Messiah. And many of them will fall on their face, yet there's still going to be a few that will still have hardened hearts and reject him. Even as he standing there in front of them, as he floated down from the heavens to the earth, and yet they'll still deny it. Wow! Goodness, help us! So let's move on to verse 12 of Romans chapter 11. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? You see, God took the riches that the Jews should have received and offered them to the Gentiles. And guess what the riches were? Salvation. Salvation and glory and praise. Because we're the only ones right now on the earth, his children, that can give him glory and honor and praise. The unbeliever can't. The Jews can't that don't know Christ. They can't. But we can. And we're filled with the riches of his glory. How many are so blessed to know that what we have living inside of us, you can't put a price on it. It's priceless. Praise God. We're filled with his glory. The Gentiles were enriched. Those who receive the gospel receive great riches for eternity. And believers, in turn, have an influence for good on the rest of the world. We have an influence on this unbelieving world more than you can think of. Deacon, you've been working on your job for how many years? Your life there, half of your adult life has been there. And when you got saved, you are a major influence in their lives. Whether they have come to Christ yet, and they have, some have, huh? Come on. Come on. Because God purposed in his heart to save you to reach them. Can I get an amen? Sister Vera has a huge family. I mean, there's at least 350 of them. I see them. I used to see them at a Easter park there in Lakeside. Lindo Lake. There was at least 400 of them there. And that wasn't all of them. But our sister, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, to be in the midst of them, to be a witness, to be an influence, to touch their lives. It's all about tag, you're in. It's about, look what God is doing in my life, what he can do in your life. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We need to be bold wherever we go and be the light of the world. Woo, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't know how many times our sister right over there, who I can't see behind this wall, but how many times she's gone and prayed for souls and watched them recover. Yeah. Woo! That's right. Because God wants us to be bold. Can I get an amen? God wants us to walk in faith, believing that when we walk through those doors, that God's going to do something. And if he's for us, who could be against us? Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Boy, he was a minister like no other. How many people can have a testimony that you were tossed out of a two-story building? That you were beaten with iron rods 40 times? That's like taking a steel rod and being beat by it. Being bitten by snakes. Being robbed by thieves. You ever been robbed by someone and they're beating you up at the same time? His own countrymen, his own brethren, his own Jewish family beat him up. My goodness. And all of the Levitical priests forsook him. Where he came from. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the attorney of the day. This man had so many accolades. He had all these things that the world would want during that time. And he says, I throw them all away. I count them as dung. As dung. Just to have Christ. To gain Christ. Woo, man. That's a real man right there. He teaches us learning how to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. There's going to be times where you have to just pick up your cross. You know, when we see our beloved brothers and sisters going through agony and pain and suffering, we come by and we pray. We come to encourage. We come to comfort. But you have to remember this. That's the cross that they're bearing. We all have a cross to carry. And one day it might be us. But it's going to be our own cross. The cross is tailor-made for each and every one of us. And carrying that cross comes the good, the bad, and even the ugly. That's right. When we got saved, nobody promised us a rose garden. We're going to suffer a few things. That's why Paul says, I glory in afflictions. You what? Yeah, he goes, I glory in afflictions. Meaning, when I'm afflicted, I give God all the glory, all the honor. A lot of us go, oh, woe is me. Give me something for this tummy ache now. Come on. Sometimes we roll that way, huh? But God is with us. God is with us. You see, we can almost see and sense the intensity of Paul's words as he defines the audience that he's writing about. Just imagine where he went, especially in Jerusalem. You're talking about tomatoes being thrown. It was worse than that. Knuckles were being thrown on him. They were beating him with their hands. Wow. And yet he continued. He wasn't ashamed, was he? You see, we are being given an opportunity to understand the role that we have in the divine plan of God. Did you know that there's a divine plan for you and I? Yeah. And Paul explains that the salvation of the Gentiles both depends on Israel and contributes to Israel's salvation. Let me just say this. If God doesn't save Israel, you can toss out your salvation then. Because he says in his word that Israel will be saved. So if we believe that Israel will be saved, guess what? We can believe that our salvation is all the way through eternity. But if he can't save them, how much more is he going to save us? So you have to remember that God is going to complete what he started. Whatever he started, he's going to complete it. Whatever he started in your life, he's going to complete it. It started with me at the age of 30. He's going to complete my life. He's going to complete your life. Some of you are young in Christ. He's going to complete it all the way to the end until he comes. And you're going to give him glory the rest of our lives. We're going to praise him and glorify him and magnify him. Thank you, God. All of the apostles were preaching both to Jews and non-Jews. But Paul had been specially appointed by God to go to the Gentiles. And we see this in the book of Acts. Look at this. It says right here, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" Praise God. He wasn't afraid to go to the Gentiles. You know what? Gentiles back in this day were considered dogs. Dogs. In other words, Gentiles were the low of all people. Outcasts. How many of you been to homeless encampments? Many of us have. Many of us have come and given them food and clothing and done all those things that God has given us to give out to them. But you don't see them hanging around with people that live in Rancho Santa Fe, do you? Huh? To someone that lives in Rancho Santa Fe that lives in $40 million homes, they would consider them an outcast. Downtrodden. Wouldn't they? They would, wouldn't they? Well, that's how the Jews back then looked at Gentiles. No differently. We were stinking, smelly dogs to them. And yet, God still loved us. How many so blessed Lord God still? You know what? I'm still going to go after that smelly dog. Come on, I got an amen. I got an amen. I got an amen from little brother Elliot. Hallelujah. Say, praise the Lord, Elliot. Praise the Lord, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this in Galatians. I found this in Galatians, putting this study together. Look at this. In Galatians 2, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek," meaning being a Gentile, "was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus." Did you catch that wording right there? Came in by stealth, meaning they came in trying to ransack them. They came in by numbers trying to destroy what God was doing. "Who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage again." Wow. Look at verse 5. "To whom," look at this, "to whom we did not yield submission to even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." They didn't even give them a day and time. They said, "Who are these folks?" Look at this. "But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me." Praise God. Those are the wannabes. Amen. They want to be something and they're nothing. Look at verse 7. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me for, toward the Gentiles. Meaning, God didn't look at the Abrahamic covenant of circumcision. He didn't look at the fleshly appearance. Can I get an amen? He was more concerned about the circumcision of the heart. Not of the flesh. Of the heart. So, what Paul wrote to the Galatians was this. Is, like it says on verse 7, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. So in other words, it didn't matter. God was still using him to win who? To win the Gentiles. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. And look at verse 9 up here. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. I want to pause right there. God had to show the rest of the apostles that the hand of God was on Paul. Because you got to remember, a lot of them still had their doubts about Paul. Because he was Saul of Tarsus. He was the persecutor of the church. This guy used to burn people at the stake. This guy would be the original drive-by and pull people out of their homes and take them down to where the gladiators were and feed them to lions, feed all the Christians. And so look at this. And when James, Cephas, and John, these are the apostles who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, that they to the circumcised. Look at this. They desired only that we should remember the poor, and the very thing which I also was eager to do. You see, it took the grace of God to be upon Paul to give them proof of the pudding. Sister, I'm not going to name you over this pulpit, but I heard your prayer. You know what I'm talking about. And your prayers was that they would see Christ in me, your family. All you have to do is continue to walk in Christ, and they will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't have to tell them, this is what I'm doing for God. This is what I've done for God. This is what I'm about to do. No. They need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory.
They will.
And they will see it. And it may take some time, but they will see it. And then they will come to an understanding that maybe there is a God. Because we didn't teach her that. And let me just say this. For every one of us that's being used by God, people are taking notice. They're taking notice. And it's not for us to boast, but it's for us to glorify Him. It's for us to magnify Him. It's for us to say, thank you, God, for saying a wretch like me. Thank you, God, that you got a plan for them. Thank you, God, that while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. So when you start deferring it to God that was all about God, that's when He will use you like no other. When you come to a place in your life where you're saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's when He will use you. That's when He'll get all the glory. Because if He doesn't get all the glory, He doesn't want none of it. He wants all the glory from your life that others can say, man, this guy walked with God. If there's anything that I would want on my tombstone, you can put anything on there, honey, if I go before you. But I want you to put on there, this man walked with God. This man walked with God. Because that's all I care, is that I'm obedient to him, that I want to walk with him, despite all my fault and failures, despite all my shortcomings, that I had a made up mind to walk with him and to be with him and to love him and to glorify him and to magnify him. I want my life to count to give him glory. Hallelujah. You see, God will use you like no other. But here's the key. It's to let go and let God. Don't be afraid of what they may say. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of all the cheese men. Psst, 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 psst. Don't be afraid of all that. You pierce right through that. You walk right through that like a knife cutting into butter. Just go right through that. And God will have your front, he'll have your sides, and he'll have your back. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn. Can I get an amen? Let God arise and let all his enemies be scattered. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we serve a mighty God. We're going to look at one last verse in verse 14 in Romans chapter 11. And it reads, And if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. So his goal was always to win souls. And this should be the unction of function in your life, in my life. Our agenda should be one thing, and that is to win someone to Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because what we have, as I shared earlier, we have this treasure living in us. And we don't want to hoard it. We want to share it. We want to give it out. Can I get amen? Amen. That they would walk and experience what you and I have graciously been given by God. And so throughout his ministry, he had a strong and a firsthand look at the Gentiles during this time. That even the Gentiles would be delivered from their bondage, and that the Jews would be delivered from their religion. Because bondage is bondage. Can I get an amen? And beyond that, Paul hoped that the Jews would want what the Gentiles had been given, and that was salvation. Just imagine when they saw the dogs of the day praising and worshiping them, worshiping God, even in the midst of persecution. It's like, man, what's in these people? I know they're not drinking happy water. Oh, come on. The Jews might then realize that those blessings are still promised to them as part of God's covenant with them. But they can only be obtained by faith through Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? So again, Paul is revealing his great desire to see his people to be saved. Look in 1 Corinthians 9:22 up here. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. That's right. That's right. No matter where you go, your life should be an influence to other people. No matter what, And never be ashamed what where God sends you. Just obey and go. And watch God do the miraculous. Look at Acts 13:45 up here. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And they blasphemously contradicted what Paul was saying. Why? Because they wished they had that kind of power. Do you recall in the book of Acts when that one person was following them around and they wanted that same power? And they turned and they cast out the devil that was in that person. And that person ran away. He ran away butt naked. Amen. I got an amen. Praise God. So look at this. Also in Acts 28. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers. And look at this in verse 26, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Look at verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. They will hear it. And 2,000 years later, we heard it. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. We heard it. Praise God. Praise God. Look what was recorded in 1 Thessalonians 2:16. Hindering us from telling the Gentiles how they may be saved. As a result, they continue to heap up their sins to full capacity. The utmost wrath has come upon them. Wow. Wow. Let me just say this. And I'm going to say this in love. But those who mock you, those who persecute you, those who ridicule you, those who laugh at you, those who will scheme up evil things against you, do not lift up a voice against them. Do not lift up your hand against them, but you take it to God. Because the battle doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Can I get amen? It belongs to God. And when you give it to God, He will fight your battle. He will do necessary things that He will do. And guess what? All we have to do is say, God, we love you, and yes and amen. Let thy will be done. Can I get amen? Amen. And God's will be done. Look what was recorded in Matthew, and then we'll close. In Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Wow. Wow. And this 2,000 years later, things haven't changed, have they? Many have gotten saved, but maybe, just maybe, you've logged in. Maybe you were on the internet searching the word amazing on Google, and Amazing Grace popped up. And then our live feed popped up. And now you're listening to this message. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not online, hallelujah, by chance. It is the providence of God that you're on. And God has a message for you. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to deliver you from a place called hell. Hell's a real place where most unbelievers will go. Matter of fact, all unbelievers will go there. But you don't have to go there. All you have to do is choose Jesus and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved, the Bible says. I want to pray for those right now that maybe never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the beautiful and wonderful people that have come out to this Bible study tonight to pray with me, to pray for you, and that you would cry out to God and ask God to save you and watch him do the miraculous in your life. So bow your heart and your head and pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Man, we serve a mighty and worthy God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.